glad to see everybody here. I hate to break it up when everybody's visiting and just having a good time. That's part of what fellowship is. As long as you ain't gossiping about the preacher. I know you're not doing that. We're continuing in the parables of Jesus. Today we're going to talk about the parables of the tares and the wheat. I'm preaching out of the King James today just to show some that I'm not backslid. But actually, I like the wording of the King James better. It's more precise. And, you know, with the parables of Jesus, the easiest ones to understand are the ones He explains. He said He would tell a parable and then His men would get Him off to the side and say, "What do you mean by that?" And He would explain it. Sometimes they didn't do that or it's not recorded. And those are the parables sometimes that, if we're not careful, we can kind of interpret them the way we want to and make them say what we think they ought to say. And it may not necessarily mean that's what the Lord meant. But this parable is one that Jesus told and then explained. And when I've been studying this, the Holy Spirit began to deal with my heart. And I'm pretty outspoken in the pulpit. If I disagree with a doctrine, I just say it. And I've even had some here get on to me about that, you know, and take it that I'm slamming a certain group or denomination, and that's never been my intention. But sometimes I can watch TV preachers, and I get stirred up on the inside when I don't agree with them. And I was watching one in particular one day, and I started to get stirred. I started to contradict, and you know, my wife doesn't like watching TV with me because I talk to the TV sometimes. And I was contradicting some of what this preacher said, and I don't agree with that. And the Holy Spirit spoke in me. He said, "Tares and wheat." And I began to see this passage in a different sense. I am not going to take away from what the Lord said, because when Jesus explains it, it's cut and dried. But the Holy Spirit revealed something. Maybe it was just for me, but I want to share with you this morning about the passage of tares and wheat. Our text will be from Matthew 13, verses 24 through 30, and then 36 through 43. Another parable put He forth unto them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said to him, 'Sir, didst thou not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares?' He said unto them, 'An enemy hath done this.' The servants said unto him, 'Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up?' But he said, 'Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Now we go to the interpretation. "Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, 'Lord,'" or saying, "'declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field.' He answered and said unto them, 'He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." That's interesting to me that after he explained the parable to his men, he said, "If you have ears to hear, then hear." And I've told you before, what Jesus is saying is, if you are able to accept this that I just told you, then accept it. course, the opposite of that is if you don't want to accept it, then don't accept it. You know, the truth doesn't change just because you don't believe it or I don't believe it. What's truth is truth. Tares. I chose the King James because it has the most accurate rendering according to the commentaries that I read. The NIV and some of the others say weeds, but that's too vague. Tares are called darnel. And the rabbis of Jesus' day called it corrupt wheat. Jesus is referring to a specific plant here, not just any weed. It bore a striking similarity to wheat, and it was hard to distinguish until the harvest when the tares and the wheat made heads. Now, the heads of the tares are poison grain. They're not to be eaten and ingested. And darnel also had a deep-rooted system, and to pull up the darnel, it would intertwine with the wheat, and you could pull good wheat up while you're pulling the darnel up. And in this parable, Jesus was teaching a spiritual truth by referring to an illustration the Jews understood. So when he told this parable, his men understood that tares or darnel looked like wheat, it grew like wheat, but the only time you could tell the difference in it was when it made the heads. Now, I'm not a farmer. I don't know. I'm not from that culture. I don't know how they told, but that's when they could tell the difference. Jesus, in explaining this parable, he says, I'm the one who sowed the seed, and the field is the world. Now, Jesus sows only good seed. Do you believe that? I believe that. Jesus sows only good seed. In the parable of the sower, which is in this same text here, he talks about that. The seed is the word, he explains. He said, the seed that I sow, I'm the sower and I sow the word. And God said, my word won't return to me empty. It'll accomplish exactly what I sent it out to do. And that means even if you reject it, because he said, I'm going to judge you by the word. And if you reject the word, that's what my word came out to do. But if you'll repent and turn and you'll be saved, that's what I sent my word out to do. So either way, God's will is going to be done with his word. And Jesus is sowing the good seed, and here, the good seed are the blood-bought church of Jesus Christ. Jesus said that. Jesus said, in this world, I have placed my children here, and they're the good seed, they're the good wheat. Now, why is the wheat planted? Because he expects a harvest. You remember last week we talked about the parable of the 10 pounds of silver and the 10 servants. And we found in that parable that the master gave them the silver and he had every intention of them gaining with that. And the one that was judged didn't gain a thing. In fact, he said, well, I hid your money because you're a hard man. Nobody likes you. And I didn't want to get out there and try to do what was considered the unpopular thing. So here's your money back. And he called him a wicked and lazy servant. And here Jesus said, I planted good seed. That's the blood-bought church of Jesus Christ. He said the bad seeds are sown by the enemy. And Jesus specifically called who he was. He's the devil. And he said the seeds are his children. In scriptures, it makes it very plain in the New Testament, there's two kinds of people. The children of God and the children of the devil. I didn't do that. Jesus made that. I've got a message I want to preach here that I got from Brother David Wilkerson, who's went on to be with the Lord, called Counterfeit Christianity. And I hope I can do as good a job as he did in explaining the difference between the children of the devil and the children of God. But today, just for the sake of this text, Jesus said, in this world, I planted my church, the good seed. Then the enemy came while men slept, while the church slept, and he sowed the bad seed. Now, this isn't to get your Agent Orange up or to get you all paranoid, but understand something. Within almost any church in the United States, you have children of the devil and you have children of God. Jesus said that. I didn't. He said, in my kingdom, we're children of the kingdom. If you're a blood-bought child of Jesus Christ, you are a son or daughter of the kingdom of heaven. And we represent the kingdom of heaven while we're here, and that's why we're not supposed to live like the world, because we're from a different kingdom. You understand? And Jesus said, within my kingdom, Satan has placed his children. Well, that's not surprising. Now, One prime example of tares in the wheat are false prophets who teach a different gospel. You remember Paul said to the church of Galatia, "Whether we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than the one we preach, let them be accursed." The Greek is powerful there. It's eternally cursed, meaning eternally separated in the lake of fire with God's curse on them. That's strong. Paul wasn't pulling any punches when he was talking about the false teachers in the church. Jesus warned us in the church to be on our guard against them. He said, "Beware of false prophets," that's false preachers, "which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Jesus said, "They look like sheep, they talk like sheep, they act like sheep, they smell like sheep, but they're wolves. They just got this sheep hide around them." I shared my Sunday school this morning. I was talking to a man yesterday that knew my dad from years ago. And we were having a good conversation, kind of like a reunion thing, because he remembered me when I was a pup. And he said, "I understand you're a preacher." I said, "Yeah." He said, "You know what?" He said, "I don't care if this makes you mad or not. I think a lot of preachers are going to hell." I said, "Well, I agree with you. I think there'll be a lot of preachers in hell." "Oh." You know, you can't argue that. There are preachers who are children of the devil. That's according to Jesus, not according to me. Now, don't shut me out and say, "Well, see, Rick's up there judging these other churches and these other men." I'm not going to do that this morning. What we're doing now is looking at the facts. And a good example of tares in the wheat. It looks like wheat, but the head and the grains are poison, are false teachers. Jesus warned the church, "Many false prophets shall arise and deceive many people." That was Jesus said that, not Rick. He's talking to his future church. And he said, "I'm going to give you the spirit of truth. He's going to teach you what I've told you. He's going to establish my teachings within the church." But he said, "Boys, there's going to be children of devil rise up in the church." Paul told the Ephesian elders that. He said, "When I leave you, I know there are wolves coming." And he said, "They'll come out of your own flock, out of your own number." And he said, "Elders, you better guard the word very closely." You know, we take our Christianity too much for granted at times. And all through the Bible it says, contend for that faith. Fight for it. Hang on to it. Our problem is we've added so many doctrines to that faith, we fight in the name of the Lord, and it's nothing but pure old-fashioned pride. "Well, my church believes this, and if you don't believe what my church believes, well, you're going to hell." Really? The Lord warned us to watch out for false teachers in the church. The Apostle Paul exposed them for who they are and what their end will be. In writing to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 11:13 through 15, he says, "For such," he was dealing with some heresy in that church, he said, "For such are false prophets, apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." Paul talking to the church of Corinth, and I understand what Paul's saying. You know, it would be the easiest thing for us as Christians if when the devil approached us as individuals or as a body, it'd be the easiest thing in the world to discern that. If he'd say, "Now look, I'm the devil. I'm not going to try to fool you. I'm the devil, and I think you ought to start teaching this in your church." We'd say, "No way, Jose. You're the enemy." But he doesn't do that. Paul said he appears as an angel of light. "I've got a new revelation from heaven." Oh, isn't that wonderful? You know, God's all about love, and this is talking about love, so it must be God. Paul said, be careful about that. Because the angel can come, the devil can come as an angel of light. And he said, so can his ministers. Same word that we use in the church for a minister. The devil has ministers in the church. I'm not saying every preacher in the church is a minister of Satan. But I'm saying just because somebody calls themselves Christians doesn't make them Christian. Just because somebody calls this doctrine a godly doctrine doesn't make it so. Now, Paul's not trying to get the church up where we're paranoid and distrusting of each other. But he's talking to this church of Corinth and he says, you better be on your guard because Satan can appear as a beautiful angel of light. And what he says can sound so convincing. And I'm going to tell you how the devil does that. He puts truth in with every lie because it's the truth that draws men and women. But then he'll put his twist and his lie on it and they'll buy it. if they're not paying attention. So this is an example of tares in the wheat. Poison, ungodly men who teach lies. Jude calls them clouds without water, twice dead, plucked up by the root, who said they go after the way of Balaam. You remember Balaam? I got a message that I ain't got to preach yet called Balaam, Preacher for Hire. And Balaam was a prophet, and the king of Moab sent to Balaam and said, I'm going to give you X amount of dollars if you'll come and curse these people. And he said, let me pray about it. And he went and prayed about it. God said, no. So he said, I can't go. God said, no. So the next time he sent another delegation, more men, and offered him more money. He goes, I need to pray about that. He didn't need to pray about it. He ended up giving his life because he went to the king of Moab and said, I can't curse them. God won't do it. But here's what you do. Get them involved in your sin, and God will punish him. And God did. He killed a lot of them. But when he had the Jews retaliate against Moab, guess who else got killed? Balaam the prophet. God said, that ain't my man anymore. And he died for his sin. As I said, Satan will take truth and mix them with lies to make it appealing. Paul warned the pastor Timothy, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared as with a hot iron. That's cut and dry. Paul warned the overseers of the church in Ephesus and charged them with exposing these teachers and these doctrines by the word of God and sound doctrine. He said, refute that, Timothy. He said, don't let it get started, Pastor Timothy. Don't let that take foot within the church that you're charged with, Timothy. You refute that with sound doctrine. And might I add, by the way you live, Timothy, you better be practicing what you preach. Paul said to Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, extort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Long-suffering is patience. That's something I need more of. You see, Christian, we're not out there bashing skulls. Paul said, be patient and reprove unsound doctrine with sound doctrine. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I think we're in that time. We talked about that at Sunday school. This world is so deceived by the devil. And sadly to say, a lot of so-called churches are deceived. And James says, with that kind of deception to the Christian, you're self-deceived. Satan doesn't even have to bother with you. You have deceived your own selves. How sad. And Jesus said this is going on in His wheat field. It's His wheat field, His church. Now, all churches have doctrines that differ from one another. We all agree with that. In fact, we like to point it out a lot. The true church of Christ believes that there is one God who is revealed as three separate and yet equal persons. God the Father, God the Word, and God the Holy Spirit. They are by nature God. God the Word became Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, born of a virgin. He is by nature Son of God and Son of Man. He was filled with God the Holy Spirit and came to the earth to redeem those who would repent and turn to Him as their only hope of reconciliation and forgiveness. He was crucified on a Roman cross. He died to pay the wages of sin. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, and on the third day He was raised from the dead for our justification and to also prove that He was exactly who He claimed to be. The Bible said, raised by the Spirit of holiness with power to prove that He was the Son of God, and that He is. He is now at the right hand of the Father. He is coming back in His glory and the glory of the Father and the holy angels to judge all people. The righteous will enter the kingdom of heaven. The wicked will be forever separated in the lake of fire, where they shall spend eternity in torment with the God of their choosing, known as the devil. We all agree on this. I'm saying the churches in Mansfield, if you took all the pastors and all the deacons and all the teachers and you put us all in the same room, we would say amen to every one of this. Amen. I can call them my brothers in Christ. Let's follow the advice of the Lord. Now, I said this parable made me see something. A little different light. As I shared, I was watching a TV preacher who believes what I believe in these main areas of doctrine. But he said something I didn't agree with. And I began to refute that. And the Holy Spirit said, tares and wheat. And I understood perfectly what the Lord was saying to me. We as servants are not qualified to pull weeds in the garden. Now, we are qualified to judge false apostles. We are qualified to judge heresy. Any church that stands up and says Jesus is not God in the flesh, the Bible says they are the spirit of Antichrist, and we can call that. Any church that says once you're saved you can't fall from grace, we're not qualified to pull that weed. We can call it a weed. We can disagree with it. But Jesus' advice to His servants was what? Leave it alone. Let it grow together. When the Lord comes back, He has already instructed His angels what's going to happen. Now, we think of the gathering the tares to burn, that's the children of the devil. Jesus said what to the angels? First you gather the wicked. And everything will come to light. Now, I can look at some of those doctrines and say, how could anybody being led by the Holy Spirit come to that conclusion? And the Lord says, Rick, tares and wheat. Because see, they can take the word and prove their point. I heard a preacher on the radio a while back, and I had a Christian man say this to me one time. The gift of tongues are no longer extant, means they don't exist anymore. And anybody speaking in tongues is doing so by the devil. Jesus was casting out demons, and the Pharisees said, well, he does that through the devil. And Jesus said, you better watch that. That's an unforgivable sin. The Apostle Paul said to the church, do not forbid to speak in tongues. And yet I show you a more excellent way. Yeah, but brother, we don't believe in the gifts of tongues anymore. We don't believe they're for us today. If you want to believe that, Paul said, be fully convinced in your own mind. But don't go around trying to pull weeds. Don't go around telling them people they're not saved because they speak in tongues. And don't let them tell you because you don't speak in tongues, you're not a Christian. Tares and wheat. When my Lord comes back, and I believe this with all my heart, there will be preachers and teachers standing before the judgment seat of Christ going, wow, I thought I had that all figured out. And the Lord's going to say, no, aren't you glad I'm a God of grace? Aren't you glad I put up with you in spite of this? Now, I am not okaying false doctrine, and neither is the Lord. He was very blunt to the point. He said the tares, the children of the devil, will be gathered and thrown into a furnace of fire, and there'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Satan is a very brilliant opponent. He's a genius. Who else can infect the truth with lies? And when the lies are exposed, God's the one that gets the blame. I've had people tell me I used to attend church regularly, but I found out some stuff about the preacher, or I found out some stuff about the people in the church, and I'll never set foot in another church again in all my life. And you know what I try to tell those people? You got your eyes on the wrong group. Get them on Jesus Christ, because He's not a hypocrite. He'll never do anything to cause you to stumble in sin. In fact, He said those that make you stumble in sin, it would be better for them to have a millstone hung around their neck and be drowned in the depth of the sea than to cause you to stumble and fall. Whoa. The church fights over each other's points of doctrines, and we have become ineffective today in gathering the lost for Jesus Christ because we're so concerned that if they don't believe the way we believe, they're believing a lie. I've shared with you before that there was a man that I met him in the hay fields, hauling hay. And he grew up in the Russian Orthodox Church. And I was a Christian. And we began to talk. And he began to share questions and things he wanted to know. And to him, you know, Christ was just this religion where he went on Sunday and went through this liturgy. And another man from a Church of Christ, now I'm not putting these people down, I'm just giving you the example, worked with him also and talked with him. And one day, we were all three going to cut wood together, and the Church of Christ guy came in my house before he got there, and he said, "I want to talk to you a minute. I understand you've been talking to this guy about Jesus." I said, "Yeah." He said, "So have I." I said, "Praise the Lord. Maybe between the two of us, you know, we can lead him to Christ." He said, "But the gifts of the Holy Spirit are dead. I don't believe in that." I said, "Well, what's that got to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ?" Well, he was asking me that question, and he said, "You believed in it." I said, "Well, sure." "Well, you're going to condemn him to hell." I said, "Why don't we stop teaching doctrine and let's talk to him about the Lord Jesus Christ?" I said, "He asked me my opinion about the gifts of tongue because they were a Pentecostal Russian church." And I said, "No, I'm not going to tell you that's of the devil. I'm not the judge of that." And he said, "Well, maybe we'll lead him to Christ, but I more or less think I'm going to lead him the right way." I said, "Well, brother, just keep talking to him about the Lord." I said, "I don't care what your church believes about music or anything else. I can call you a brother because I know you believe what I believe about Jesus Christ." I said, "On the rest of this, God will sort it out." Now, was that easy for me to say? No. I wanted to get that Church of Christ guy by the ear and say, "Let's go in the kitchen and sit down and open a Bible. Let's fight. Let's put on the gloves and duke it out." Tares and wheat. That's what Jesus said. Tares and wheat. You let me sort it out. I'm the only one qualified, Jesus says, to pull the weeds. And I'm going to do it. I want to tell you something. I have a freedom. 14 years of ministry, I have acquired a freedom that I didn't have for 13 years. There was a peace come upon me when the Holy Spirit said that, and I got a hold of it, and I said, "Oh." You see, because we're so busy fighting one another on our doctrines, the devil watches the world perishing and going to hell that we're supposed to be representing Christ to, and we think we're a godly army fighting for right, and we're fighting among the family, and that's not what we've been called to do. I'm going to tell you something. If the Church of Christ of Mansfield has a revival and people are being saved, I'll rejoice for that. If the Assemblies of God is having a revival and people are coming to Christ and they claim they're being filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, I'm going to say praise the Lord because Jesus is moving. The Ministerial Alliance, we were talking and we said, "What can we do?" All across the board, they said, "People don't care. They don't seem to care. They don't want to come to church. They don't want to study the Word. What do we do?" And we all agree that what we need to do is call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and ask for His Spirit to fall. Now, our flesh rises up and says, "I don't agree with the Assemblies of God. I don't agree with the Calvinist Church. I don't agree with the Brick Free Will Baptist." You don't have to agree with them, but you got to love them. They're the family of God. Just think, if we quit doing this, if we quit going around trying to pull weeds, how much it'll free us up to do what God's called us to do. And that's to win people to Jesus Christ. The church is fighting among themselves and Satan is dancing a jig. He loves it, and the longer he can keep it stirred up, the more he knows he's going to lose. What about the hypocritical preachers? God will deal with them. What about the false doctrine in the church? God's going to deal with that. God will expose it. Jesus said, "Nothing's hidden that won't be exposed." Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity." Brothers and sisters, I want to say to you this morning, it won't be a Baptist sitting on the throne. It won't be a Nazarene. It won't be a Methodist. It won't be a Church of God Holiness. It won't be a Church of Christ elder. It won't be a Christian church elder. It'll be Jesus Christ sitting on the throne. And He's the one that's going to sort the wheat and the weeds. Why don't you stand with me? Praise God for the God that we have that can allow us to be diverse and still call us His family. And please don't walk out here and say, well, our preacher said we're supposed to put up with false doctrine. No way, shape, or form. If it contradicts the Word, then you expose it for what it is. But let's stop fighting among the other churches here, and let's come together in the name of Christ, and let's win people. That's what we're being called to do. What are we singing this morning?
I surrender all.
If you're here this morning and you've never surrendered your life to Christ, I want to invite you to do that before the close of this service. Come up here and sit down. I'll be glad to talk to you about what you need to do to become a Christian. If you're a Christian today here and like I was, and you've been judgmental and condemning other churches just because they're not of this group, then I invite you to settle that before you leave here and confess your sin to the Lord. That's sin. That's pure and simple. You're an advocate of the devil when you do that. So you need to repent of that and say, Lord, that's your body, not mine. I'm not going to judge that anymore. Why don't you come as we sing, I Surrender All.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all.
Cry this morning.
All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessing fall on me.
He's going to have surgery tomorrow on his intestines, so be praying about that. I think Gary's still having some problems, some issues. Be praying about that. I don't have any other written requests here before me. Are there any prayer requests you want to bring to the body before we dismiss?
My cousin Becky Lucas, her new husband, well, his mom passed away this last week of cancer. She's been fighting it for a few years, but they had called in hospice just a few days ago, and she passed. Granny, was it Sunday or Monday?
Okay.
Granny, was it Sunday or Monday? One of them. She don't know. Anyway, so if you can just keep Becky Lucas and her husband in your prayers, Matt.
Becky Smith.
Becky Smith now, sorry.
I know. I knew who he was talking about.
Okay.
Yeah, I keep the Smith family in your prayers. Anyone else? I believe Brother Joe has the closing prayer.
Our Father in heavens, we come to you this morning. We thanking you for this day that you've given. Thanking you, Father, for this congregation here. Thanking you, Father, for the freedom we have to come here to worship you. Thanking you, Father, for the many blessings you poured out on all of us. Thanking you, Father, for everything, all that is and all that ever will be. I pray for health and safety for us all. I pray for the sick, Doc, and others. Others here in the congregation, I pray for them all that God will heal them. It's the will of God. God be with them. I pray for those who are traveling that God will Give them a safe trip. I pray for those who are in service that God will be with them. Keep them safe and well. We need you every hour as the song was sung. We always will. I pray that we will always be true to you. We'll never stray, turn away. In Jesus' name, amen.